Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Aaron David Miller, who's a public policy fellow at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. He is on the U.S. Advisory Council of Israel Policy Forum and has been an advisor to six secretaries of state. Under President Clinton, he served as a deputy special Middle East coordinator for Arab-Israeli negotiations. His books include The Arab States and the Palestinian Question, The PLO and the Politics of Survival, The Search for Security, Saudi Arabian Oil and American Foreign Policy, The Much Too Promised Land, America's Elusive Search for Arab-Israeli Peace, and a new book, Can America Have Another Great President? He has an article at CNN, Will Israel Trip Help Romney? Welcome to Background Briefing, Aaron David Miller.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And what is the answer to your rhetorical question so far? The big speech that that candidate Romney is delivering hasn't finished yet, but we've had a kind of preview of what he's going to say. Obviously, compared to the trip to London, things are going better, right?
I think so. And you know, foreign policy does not figure prominently in this campaign. And the Israel issue isn't going to be determinative. But in a close election, you don't want to alienate any potential constituency. You want to raise as much money as you can, and particularly among dissatisfied American Jews and evangelicals who are suspicious of Romney, demonstrating that he is more emotionally bonded and closer to Israel than the president is, could pick up a few votes for him.
Well, does this mean then that if Romney were to become president, given that the impasse between, as you've written in your article, Aaron David Miller at CNN, Will Israel Trip Help Romney, that the, in a sense, the tiff between Obama and Netanyahu over the settlement issues that won, Netanyahu kind of won that round, but in terms of a Romney president, would Romney change this longstanding U.S. policy on the settlements?
I think there would be less of a potential for a clash or confrontation on the settlements issue, in large part because a President Romney would not devote nearly as much time as a President Obama tried to devote in his first term toward the Israeli-Palestinian issue. Romney has already argued it is not central and has criticized the president for engaging in illusions in order to make it a central issue. So on that particular issue, there is a substantial difference between President Obama and the putative Republican nominee and presidential hopeful Mitt Romney. And yes, there would be less collision in the U.S.-Israeli relationship if Romney were to win in November.
So in terms of what's happening now, is this a kind of unification of the American right and the Israeli right? I mean, to my understanding, the Israeli left, going back, for example, to Rabin, seems to have all but vanished.
Well, first of all, Rabin was not a member of the Israeli left. In the tradition of most Israeli prime ministers who have done significant things on Arab-Israeli peace, he was a transformed hawk. I think this is campaign silly season, frankly. I think substantively, there's almost no difference between Romney and Obama in terms of support for Israel or support for the security of Israel. I think the difference lies in different emotional capacity of each man to emotionally bond and connect with Israeli fears and Israeli concerns. That's where President Obama has demonstrated a kind of analytical detachment. Some would say bloodlessness on the issue of Israel. He doesn't emote well on any subject, with the possible exception of healthcare. And Romney is much more instinctive and spontaneous in his support, much more along the lines of Bill Clinton or George W. Bush. And that's not Obama's style. And I think, frankly, it's gratuitous. You know, fighting with the Israelis is an occupational hazard, certainly when it comes to peacemaking. But to fight and win, And to do something that will benefit Israel, the United States, and the Arabs is one thing. To anger the Israelis without purpose or without consequence is quite another. And I think that's in part what's happened in the U.S.-Israeli relationship.
So when you say in your article at CNN, will Israel trip help Romney, Aaron David Miller, when you talk about Bill Clinton, who wrote in his memoirs that he loved Israel's former Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin as he had rarely loved another man and was captivated by Israel's heroic struggle. That's not to say that you told me once that after Netanyahu first met with Clinton in the Oval Office, when an exasperated Clinton, after the meeting ended, turned to his aides and said, "Who is the effing superpower around here?"
That's right, he did. That's not to say that Benjamin Netanyahu, unlike many authoritative right wingers, Shamir, Begin, Sharon, is not nearly as self-confident as they were. And as a consequence, he's less able to make the kinds of decisions that those three made, Begin over Camp David in the peace with Egypt, Shamir coming to Madrid, and even Sharon in terms of cooperating with George W. Bush and disengaging from Gaza. Benjamin Netanyahu is a very uncertain and tentative right-winger. And as a consequence of that fact, he's unable to make these kinds of decisions, which leaves him, of course, demonstrating his right-wing credentials and being very tough-minded, but without the capacity to cooperate. And I point out in the piece that the one problem that both Obama and Netanyahu have is that they haven't been able to find the kind of common enterprise that would require the kind of intimate cooperation that would build confidence and trust. Iran may yet do that, of course, if the United States or the Israelis find themselves in a military confrontation over the nuclear issue. But short of that, if Obama is reelected and Netanyahu continues, and it seems to me there's a reasonable chance that that will happen, U.S.-Israeli relationship is not going to improve on the emotional, tonal side. So I think that we are in for a pretty rough ride in 2013. Now, if Romney should win, I think you'll see a lot of those tensions diffused. And again, in a close election, a Republican candidate, even though he's not going to capture the vast majority of the Jewish vote, Jews are not single-issue voters. Romney's views on economic and social issues are likely to offset any gains that he's likely to pick up on the Israel issue. But in a close election, states like Florida, Jews are 2% of the population, but vote in very high numbers. So I think that Romney has expressed objective here. It's to draw a fundamental divide and difference between his view, his bonding with Israel, and wants to appear much closer in an effort to gain some of those votes.
Again, I'm speaking with Aaron David Miller, Public Policy Fellow at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. He is on the U.S. Advisory Council of Israel Policy Forum and has been an advisor to six secretaries of state. Under President Clinton, he served as the Deputy Special Middle East Coordinator for Arab-Israeli Negotiations. His books include The Arab States and the Palestinian Question, The PLO and the Politics of Survival, The Search for Security, Saudi Arabian Oil and American Foreign Policy, The Much Too Promised Land, America's Elusive Search for Arab-Israeli Peace, and a new book, Can America Have Another Great President? He has an article at CNN, Will Israel Trip Help Romney? Now, obviously, again, going back to this historical perspective that you've offered here on the different relationships that former presidents have had with Israel, has there been a situation there where the challenger to a sitting president who is dealing with the state of Israel and who may deal with them again for the next 4 years, in effect, his opponent is almost the best friend of the Israeli prime minister, whose biggest fundraiser and devotee, Sheldon Adelson, is over there now organizing a big breakfast on Monday at the King David Hotel. And he's made no secret of that he's prepared to spend $100 million of his own money, which is, of course, a drop in the bucket, to defeat Obama. Can a President Obama forget about his Netanyahu's closeness to his rival?
Well, I mean, I think the Prime Minister of Israel doesn't want to. I mean, he wants to hedge his bets as well. I mean, he doesn't know who's going to win. Neither do you or I. And I think the reality is that I don't think it's a deep, dark secret that if Netanyahu could close his eyes and make a wish, it would be that Romney would become the president. And yet, the U.S.-Israel relationship, frankly, is too big to fail. And I suspect, and there have been many tensions over the years, and it's only grown more closer on an institutional level in terms of security, cooperation, intelligence sharing. I think the U.S.-Israel relationship is going to survive. There's no question about that. But I do believe, and it may well be that the two, should they find themselves continuing in office, Netanyahu and Obama, essentially find a way to cooperate. But it's not going to be easy. And I suspect, if you look back, you might draw the conclusion, for example, that Anwar Sadat saved the relationship between Jimmy Carter and Menachem Begin from growing much, much worse. Now, Jimmy Carter was defeated, not because of his policies on Israel, but nonetheless, it was that common enterprise. Like Madrid saved the relationship between Yitzhak Shamir and George H.W. Bush, and the relationship between Shamir and Secretary of State James Baker. So there are bad patches with the Israelis. Common interests, common values usually succeed in creating a community of interests. And it's just this time around, you have a very long stretch in which there is little confidence, sense of giving one the benefit of the doubt on the part of these two guys. And it is occurring at a very important time in the Middle East. Arab Spring, Arab Winter, the Iranian nuclear challenge, the impasse on the Arab-Israeli peace process. There are all kinds of things that should, by definition, create a common approach between Israel and the United States, and yet certainly on the Arab-Israeli peace process, and perhaps even on Iran, if the Israelis reach the conclusion that neither sanctions nor diplomacy can work, those differences may actually grow larger.
But Aaron David Miller, you mentioned earlier the silly season is on, and undoubtedly that's the case with the elections. But when Mitt Romney's foreign policy advisor, Danton Yurt, said in Israel that Romney would respect, which is an odd word, a unilateral Israeli strike on Iran. This would seem to be, first of all, I can't understand why that would even be being discussed at this point. Isn't Iran about to, it looks as though Iran's about to suffer an enormous setback with the fall of the Assads. And wouldn't this be a time to just let things happen in the Middle East and not to stir the pot?
Paradoxically, first of all, the Romney campaign, at least those who were traveling with former governor, walked that statement back and made it almost coincident with what the Obama policy was. So I suspect that Dan Senior made that statement. He may have known it. He had gone too far. The press blew it out of proportion. And the campaign, or the traveling campaign, figured out that since he's abroad, Romney's abroad, he doesn't want to criticize Obama on the international stage. He certainly doesn't want to make new policy for the United States at such a sensitive moment. They walked it back. As far as the Iranians are concerned, look, I've long been a believer. This Iranian government wants a nuclear weapon. Outside of the five permanent members of the Security Council, only four other states have them: India, Pakistan, North Korea, and Israel. Iran considers itself a state that is profoundly insecure and profoundly entitled, grandiose at the same time. And I suspect the fall of the House of Assad, when it occurs, is only going to make the Iranians more determined to acquire the kind of deterrence and even offensive capacity that a nuclear weapon would give them, precisely because they're now going to feel encircled. The so-called Shia arc, Lebanon, Syria, Iran, Bahrain, I don't buy that. I think you're going to see a Sunni regime take over in Damascus at some point, and that's going to weaken Hezbollah, it's going to weaken Iran, and it's going to weaken the whole notion that the Sunni world is now being encircled itself by Shia. So that is simply going to reinforce Iran's determination
Well,
to acquire a nuclear capacity.
But just in closing, R. David Miller, doesn't that sort of, in a way, justify what the former head of Mossad, Dagan, was saying, where he was saying that spurning the Saudi peace offers was a huge mistake? If you've got the Sunnis coming back, and particularly now with in Israel, the new Muslim Brotherhood president just met with the leader of Hamas. This would seem to be this is the time for the Sunni revival, right?
Yeah, but that Sunni revival is going to reinforce a consensus. Well, I mean, look, the reality is what you're going to lack in the Middle East, which is going to be very bad for Arab-Israeli peacemaking, is strong authoritative leadership willing to stand up, not only reaching out to the Israelis, but supporting the Palestinians and the kind of concessions that they're going to have to make in order to make a deal. The reality is that neither the Prime Minister of Israel nor the President of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, are prepared to pay the price that is required to reach a deal on Jerusalem, border security, refugees. Neither man is willing to take those risks right now. And frankly, the peace process is really quite separate. We cannot make the same mistake we made in Iraq, which is to assume that if you defeated Saddam, somehow the Arabs and the Israelis would be somehow more willing to make peace. It's the same with the Iranians. If somehow Iran disappeared, the challenges of Arab-Israeli peacemaking would remain as acute as ever.
Well, R. David Miller, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Pleasure, Ian. Take care.
You too. Again, I've been speaking with R. David Miller, who's a public policy fellow at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. He is on the U.S. Advisory Council of the Israeli Policy Forum and has been an advisor to 6 secretaries of state. Under President Clinton, he served as a deputy special Middle East coordinator for Arab-Israeli negotiations. His books include The Arab States and the Palestine Question, The PLO and the Politics of Survival, The Search for Security, Saudi Arabian Oil and American Foreign Policy, The Much Too Promised Land, America's Elusive Search for Arab-Israeli Peace, and a new book, Can America Have Another Great President? He has an article at CNN, Will Israel Trip Help Romney? This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.